This program contains adult content. Parental discretion is advised.
Let's get ready to suck up!
We have our starting quarterback is two games as a Bear, and at the point you're probably talking about is maybe the fourth quarter of that game. All those things are going to be important for him moving forward, too. I wish we could play two quarterbacks at once, but I don't know that would be our best options.
If you play the audio backwards on that press conference, I'm pretty sure it just keeps on saying I'm a fucking idiot. I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, let's rewind and take a listen.
I'm dumb as fuck. I'm dumb as fuck. I'm dumb as fuck.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears 100 Proof, where for over an hour we will take shots and get you inebriated with information, sloshed to a sentiment, and wasted with wisecracks. That's right, our goal is to get you fucked up with fun. And after the performance on Sunday by the Bears and that bullshit press conference by John Fox on Monday, you are deserving of some midweek merriment. Now, serving up the shots are Draft Dr. Phil Latoshin.
Call me a doctor.
And the smartest man in the barroom, Shane Marsaw.
Shane, your beer mug is so big.
She said your beer mug is so big, I stepped on it. Sorry, but you're probably going to hear that again 100 times. Shane,
I'm gonna go leave you guys and go talk to that girl, I think.
I got to tell you, when I asked that woman to record this, she gave me like 5 minutes of recordings. I had an erection by the time I finished listening to some of her. Oh, Shane, you're so sexy.
Well, I just lost mine after hearing that. So.
And then I sent her an email saying, oh, you did a fantastic job. And she wrote back saying, this was the most fun I've had on a Sunday morning in a long time. And I was like, yeah, honey, I'm going to get on a plane. I don't know where the hell you are, but I'm going to get on a plane and see you. Fellas, man, what the hell is going on at Hallis Hall? There was a parade of ex-football players, ex-cons, disabled veterans going in for tryouts today. I mean, I'm just guessing that's who these guys were because most of the names I never heard of before. But why don't we get a report from Shane on who some of these guys are? And then maybe, Phil, you can jump in here. And if you've got a comment on any of these guys or a comment on the fact that we're in a situation where we're trying out a dozen guys already after week two, we got to get to the bottom of that and find out what the heck is going on. So, Shane, take it away.
Yeah, I'll just run over the list real quick so everybody knows exactly who we're talking about. Linebacker Carl Bradford, wide receiver Marlon Brown, defensive tackle Stephon Charles, quarterback Garrett Grayson, quarterback Bart Houston, wide receiver Bug Howard, wide receiver Kyle Prater, defensive tackle Mike Purcell, who has been signed to the Chicago Bears practice squad, linebacker Shane Skov, wide receiver Tavon Smith, center Mark Spellman, tight end DJ Tealave, I don't know if I butchered that or not, we'll just run with it, wide receiver Daniel Williams, defensive lineman Nick Williams, and wide receiver James Wright. The biggest name that really sticks out for me, there's actually two of them there that stick out for me. Linebacker Carl Bradford, he was a guy that came out of Arizona State that was drafted by Green Bay. Actually was a pretty big fan of his in college, but I thought linebacker, especially outside linebacker depth, but now at this point inside linebacker depth is a glaring need on this team. So he's somebody that I might keep an eye on. I was hoping that they would actually bring in a guy like Hodges from Buffalo. I know he's still bouncing around out there. The other name that I think a lot of people know is Bug Howard, the wide receiver from North Carolina. He has that connection with Mitch Trubisky. And we all know after the events of today, I think there's a lot of upset people seeing Tanner Gentry released. I know they want to sign him back to the practice squad, but at this point, the more the merrier down there, because we need some infusion of young, talented wideouts at this point so we can move away from Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson gobbling up so many valuable reps.
Phil, I think he just set you up for
Yeah, exactly.
I figured he was setting you up for a good joke there, Phil. Bring in all that infusion of talent so that Mike Glennon can overthrow them.
Either overthrow them, underthrow them, drops. We got it all, folks.
Yeah, he did that.
$19.99 million. We got it all. Yeah, the kid that stands out, you know, let's face it, real quick, because we didn't get to it last night. You've lost two inside backers that Shane's talking about, both to pecs. I don't know what's going on with the pec muscles at Hallis, but maybe the lady talking to Shane can get over there and help them work those muscles out. I don't know, but the inside backer position is one with which, you know, you have John Timu on the practice squad. Obviously, our guy Christian Jones came in and substituted because Nick Kwiatkowski now, I don't know why they're waiting and they continue to do this stuff, but a pec muscle, as Shane said, when we speculated about Jarrell Freeman, is something that's going to not be able to heal in time through the course of a season. I've never seen it happen in that time. So Freeman has already been placed on IR. The technicality of placing Kwiatkowski on IR. There was a big trade tonight with one of my favorite players in that draft class, Shane, Stephon Anthony. I was a huge fan of him. He went from the Saints, which I know Ryan Pace had some connection with. What a beautiful trade partner would have been to give up an 18 pick, pick up that young type of talent. Unfortunately, Pace played Bellamy, dropped the ball there, in my opinion. Get involved in that situation. Get young players here. Obviously, that didn't happen. He goes to the Dolphins. I look at this list, and I see Shane. I thought it was Scove. That's how I pronounce it. Shane Scove from Stanford. He also has experience with Vic Fangio as he was there with Harbaugh and Fangio there. So that's a guy that keeps his name on. He's not the most talented, gifted athlete, but like John Timu, I actually think Scove, you know, has had moments in football that he just jumps off the tape. Unfortunately, he had a really bad injury, and it hindered him. And I was, did he go undrafted? I believe he went undrafted and was picked up by the Niners, if I can recall. But he's an instinctive, aggressive tackler on the inside. And when you're looking to fill in roster spots at this time, that's a guy that stands out. And you said it, Al, though. I'm fired up because the Tanner Gentry stuff, this selective accountability conversation needs to go down with you guys tonight. I know a lot of people that follow me, and I'm taking this from one of our favorite followers, Aldo, who really brought it from across the pond, Sandy Tom from across the pond. It rhymes. So Sandy talked about selective accountability happens so much with Fox. When me and Sandy were going back and forth late last year, it continues to happen, and it happened surrounding Josh Bellamy. Now, here's a guy that, if you go back last year, dropped game winners. Again, in the Falcons game this year, the drops continue. And then in the Tampa game, he proceeds to go out there, trot him out there, and he's your game planned number one wide receiver in this game plan against Tampa. 63 snaps this guy had, more than anybody else. And what happened again, Aldo? He had drops, critical drops in the game. The frustration for me, that's your job, to go out there and play football and make catches and be consistent with it. He hasn't been. So the consistency to punish and to sit people you know, a lot of people were talking about last year's Tampa game when Jay Cutler had this. If you remember, there was this great-looking young running back who was second in the NFL in rushing. Do you guys know who that is last year?
Jordan Howard.
He had one fumble last year. It came in the Tampa game. I believe it was early second quarter or first quarter. He never saw the field again that game. So do you think that could have had an outcome on the end of that game and what transpired offensively in that game? He was pulled because he fumbled the ball on a very physical blindside play. He was punished. Again, selective accountability is transpiring here. I could go on and on. Now you got Tanner Gentry gets in there, makes two contested catches, had a lapse in concentration catch. You learn from those bumps in the road. We talked about it with Trubisky. You're going to have some bumps with any rookie. Cohen, what kind of stupidity was that on the punt return? He has to now learn from that. The Bears have lost the game in the domino effect of turnovers. That didn't help. So is he going to get benched? Is he going to be out there punt returning? I guarantee he's out there punt returning. Fox has no consistency. And as a football coach, that travels around the water cooler. That travels through the team. That the Josh Bellamy's could do no wrong. And that the Mike Glennon's could do no wrong. We've brought this guy in here to perform. There's a comment I've tried to find, but he was saying performance is the key. You got to perform, and turnovers are unacceptable. Well, he's breaking and bending his own rules. Every turn, everything, the lead-in speech here. So when you look at these guys coming in, are they hungry? Are they going to help this team? When I looked at Tanner Gentry, I thought, finally, well, we're sacrificing here and there, but at least you got a young, pass-catching, a young, talented kid who plays with a chip and passion on the football team, who clearly has a connection with the young quarterback. Nope, we're bouncing him off the roster, but yet we're going to keep, McManus. Sherrick McManus is going to stay on the fullback. Bruton's going to stay on the tight ends are all going to stay on the roster. So the personnel decisions that this team has surrounding selective accountability is terrible, and it's unfortunate because I thought Tanner Gentry was something in a rebuilding season. Mr. Heath Evans and Steve Weish and these guys, we were rebuilding once we took a quarterback at 2. I mean, and we're 3-13. I don't understand where this. Oh, we can't put him out there. That's the sign of rebuilding. Hello, we've been rebuilding. Is this mic on? Yeah. Jesus. So I'm fired up tonight with those tie. The personnel. What is Sherrick McManus doing for us, Shane? I mean, is he really that important when you got a Bellamy out there, Thompson? You pulled up my boy Houston Carson. Is his role special teams too? How many special teams guys can you put on the roster? I thought it was important to win games with talent, not to play special teams.
Yeah, how many times have we said, I mean, just over the past 12 months, especially when rosters are being decided, and yes, everybody knows that special teams phase is an integral part of any 53-man roster. But at the same time, when you're a 3-win ball club, and I'll say it again, you give me the best 53 players, and I'm going to figure out my special teams from there. We all know that Sherrick McManus is a one-trick pony. We all know that Josh Bellamy, yes, his perfect position is to be on special teams, and then if a wide receiver goes down, he can give you some spot duty. But guys, you know, I can every year it seemed like back in the Angelo days with the Brendan Iambadejos and guys like that, they would go out every year and they'd get these special team demons to go down, and they'd lead the Chicago Bears in special teams tackles, and then after a year or two, they would let him go. They had Tim Shaw there for a couple of years, and everybody was up in arms when they let him go. But to me, you can find these guys. You know, you just like Phil said, it's about finding young, ascending talent that wants to make their mark in the NFL, and a lot of them are going to break in on special teams. I mean, look at a guy like Terrell Davis. That's how he made his mark, was in a preseason mm-hmm. game making a special teams tackle. And when I see guys like, yes, Tanner Gentry is completely unproven, but when you see a guy like that with upside, to me it just makes no sense when, like Phil said, you have the fullback. How many snaps did Burton get last week? Two? I mean,
I think there was four toss plays, so I'm going to go with four.
Yeah, so four. And it's just it's sad to see when at this point it just doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to it. And like you said, Phil, bringing up DHC, DeAndre Houston Carson, to me, that's a Sherrick McManus replacement.
Exactly.
You know, you move on from Sherrick, you bring up DHC because by them moving him up, Philadelphia wanted to sign him to their active roster. That must mean that Ed Donatell and Vic Fangio see something in this kid if they brought him up to the active roster. Well, we all know what Sherrick McManus is. He's strictly a special teams guy. We saw what he does when you give him the added responsibility of playing defense, essentially handed Minnesota Vikings a win along with Antrell Roll there a couple of years ago.
Oh, but and the Lions, too. Yeah, it was back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just they're sacrificing young, unproven talent for veteran special teams talent. And that veteran special teams talent was part of a 3-win team last year. So it's to me, there's no pattern here with these guys. It's unfortunately, it seems like they're just kind of throwing darts at a wall at this point.
Oh, Shane, it's true. You are the smartest man in the bar room.
I hear that so many times throughout the day, and it never gets old.
So I know you wanted to comment on what Shane just said.
Me and the smartest man were walking step for step. I was shocked Houston Carson was cut on final cutdown. I had him making the roster. I also had Tanner Gentry making the roster. We never got to do that on the show, but I thought Houston Carson is exactly what Shane said, a guy that can go in and play safety in a pinch, but really comes in and becomes your young special teams ace, but gives you the potential to go and be a defensive player in a pinch where Sherrick McManus becomes the quarterback's checkpoint. Where is Sherrick? That's where we're going if he's ever on the defensive, you know, on the field. And like Shane said, there was back-to-back weeks, Lions and Vikings, game on the line, you know, team records on the line, and he allows the slot receiver to run a skinny post or gets dusted on an out, and then the guy walks in the end zone. He's a liability. There's nothing he brings to the table that you can't replace. Whether the Patriots wanted to sign him or whatever, that doesn't hinder what I see on tape, watching the all 22 of him running down on special teams. I don't see it, guys. I'm sorry. I really don't. I'm not going to question what the guy brings in the locker room and what have you. I don't know. But as far as a rebuilding 0-2 football team with a mountain to climb with a ultimate French fry playing quarterback, we have issues. And the personnel needs to improve all over this roster, and I continue to question the back-end moves and some of the top-end moves all throughout the offseason. Now here we are, week two. People have waved the white flag all because of a quarterback that's absolutely horrific, and now you're making moves to make it even worse for the offensive side of the football. It doesn't make any kind of sense right now.
No.
Why not? Let's talk about Jordan Howard. He finally met with the media on Monday, and he talked about that his shoulder is good, that he's got no problem at all playing with Tariq Cohen. He says they can coexist. But the problem is that he's got 22 carries for only 59 yards this season and one touchdown. That's an average of about 2.7. And this after this astonishing rushing rookie record that he set last year. So, Shane, you know, what's going on with Jordan? Is this a part of the ripple effect that the quarterback is having? Is this just bad luck because of the shoulder injury, the offensive line injuries? What do you think is going on?
I think you can easily say yes to everything. I truly think he's a little more injured than he's letting on. And we all know how it goes, guys. Even though he's a second-year player, you see, are we still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Heard somebody pop out. Was Phil there?
Yeah, Phil went. Phil left. He just said,
fuck this shit, I'm out.
There he is. He's back.
I don't know what happened.
Pick up wherever you like, Shane.
Okay. Yeah, I think when you see a young guy come on the scene like Tariq Cohen, and he had that big first game, and it really shows how, you know, remedial a guy like Dowell Loggins is. You know, everybody was saying, well, it's going to be interesting to see how the Chicago Bears use him in week two, because teams are going to be gunning for him. And then I heard a guy like Dan Durkin say, well, he's going to have options off of what he did last week. Well, he proved that he didn't. I mean, they're I think it's a, like I said, I think it's a culmination of things. They're putting Cohen out there so much, and I think that irritates Jordan Howard. I don't have, you know, any inside sources saying that this is exactly what's going on, but I think he's injured. I think he's frustrated with, you know, the first play of the game last week versus Tampa Bay. You see a guy like Tom Compton get totally destroyed, and then what's the next thing that happens? Jordan Howard is tackled for a 3-yard loss on the very first play of the game. I think it's, you know, everything is starting to add up. You put a guy like Mike Glennon out there at quarterback, and obviously the box is going to fill up. So there's you know, it's, like I said, it's a culmination. The shoulder injury, he's banged up. Tariq Cohen is taking a bunch of his snaps. The frustration with the you know, the injuries on the offensive line, the frustration with an inept quarterback. I think the question is yes to all of your questions, Aldo. But that's the good thing. You know, if we go into a game like Pittsburgh, I know it's a formidable opponent, but it just takes one game. You know, he can have that bust out game, and then it can cure a lot of these evils that are going on with him. But it's just unfortunately at this point, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel as long as Mike Glennon is the quarterback, because week after week after week, these teams are going to say, Mike Glennon, we're going to make you beat us, and we're going to shut this running game down. And we saw that last week versus Tampa.
Phil, what do you think about this rushing attack of the Chicago Bears? Are we in trouble? And, you know, is your prognosis, doctor, that this is going to continue until we get a quarterback change, or exactly what?
Oh, it goes back to square peg and round hole. Ryan Pace is going to have to eat this as his grand mistake. He clearly, whether he decided that he was going to trick everybody and sign Glennon so he can get his original guy, and now the rumors of him and John Fox not being on the same page or having ill wills towards the quarterback move, when John Fox is trying to win now, or John Fox didn't want Glennon. Whatever it is, Glennon's here, and he's not a fit. So no matter what any prognosticator, nerd, boy, writer for whatever site, and NFL Network guys that don't know the Bears and are just speaking to get, you know, people to view them or go to their website, whatever it is, I'm going to tell you the truth here. That's what we do. And Mike Glennon is a detriment. It's a handicap to what you do well, and that's run the football. And if I'm Jordan Howard, looking at the opening game plan, it clearly was surrounding using Tariq Cohen to isolate him and get him to make plays. And it would have been shut down had Tariq Cohen not reverse field, made a great looking play, and got down there. If you really look at that team, that game, that was the turning point in confidence for the offense, because 41 yards passing, folks, in the first half, really net 13 because he had the sacks, and then ultimately to do the 2-minute drills prior to the half and prior to the end of the game was the story, as Shane said. It really wasn't that good week one, and the 300 yards against Tampa is such a reason why I don't ever listen to anyone spouting off stats when I know what the eyeball test says on the tape. They're stacking the box. You're trying to run zone plays and stretch plays and power plays, and everybody's in the box, and you got guys that don't know who they need to block, and Jordan Howard, who is used to having a crease or some sort of hole to read and cut back, he can't because the center's been moved to guard. The backup center's getting blown out. The guard that's supposed to be a right tackle is getting blown off the football. Your quarterback is not checking to the right side when he sees the strong safety coming up. Should be a check, and you're going to run it the other way. Whether they could do that with Mike Glennon or not, it's only his second game, so we're trying to assess him, Aldo, because, you know, he's only been in the league, what, 5 years? And now he's we're trying to – it's his second game, so, you know, fourth quarter, I guess that's – I mean, this is a clown show. When you watch the tape, the interception that Mike Glennon throws into triple coverage is horrific. If you are trying to
Hey, Phil. Yeah. Phil, in theory, shouldn't that play have worked?
In theory, that play shouldn't even have been thought of.
Inside joke.
To be honest, the theory of that is not even in the realm of my favorite sentence, the reality. The theory. Oh, my God. The theory of the play never would have worked because the actual concept of the play should have been to the tight end out in the flat that's got nobody on him and can turn up the field for about 16 yards or 9, depending on the athlete. And I know another writer put up, well, he could have went to the backside too, but I think the corner would have came up and maybe it's a 4-yard gain. The right read was 1 was covered, your 2 was the tight end in the flat, and that's Shaheen. Now, whether he was going to catch it or not is debatable at this point. So
he may have fallen down.
Yeah, so, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to give you a picture of the Chinese fire drill that you have on offense when your best parts are your center and your guard and your tailback. And he has every right to be pissed off because the philosophy of this offense seems to be surrounding Mike Glennon and Tariq Cohen and Josh Bellamy. I mean, think about that, guys. And you got 4 tight ends, and really your best tight end is Zach Miller, who's getting out there and he's being isolated and used. But really, where are these tight ends? Because I felt like you could have used Sims. You really could have used Brown, especially when you're down to Josh Bellamy and Wright. The game plan, the offensive philosophy, we are back again to this Dowell-Loggins piece of shit, really.
It's well, just, and I got to tell you that this the rushing attempts for the Bears, they're 28th with only 35 attempts. And
Think about that, Aldo.
Yeah,
Think about that.
I know that teams are stacking the box, so people will say, well, you don't want to run as often with people stacking the box. But nonetheless, you know, the team is averaging over 4 yards per carry, and you can say that, you know, that stat is skewed because of Cohen's 46-yard run. But you take that away, it's still a 3.7 average, and you look at other teams in the NFL who are averaging 3.7, the Detroit Lions, who have almost double the amount of rushing attempts. They're averaging 3.7. So, you know, it is disconcerting that John Fox says we're a running team. This team was supposedly built upon, you know, a rushing philosophy with a stiff defense. And yet, you know, the game plan isn't there. We're not seeing the words, the actions match the words. I think, Phil, you said it much better recently, you know, that something about the game plan is, I don't know, fictitious or something like that. I don't know if you recall, but, you know, this is, like you said, it's a Chinese fire drill. It's all screwed up, and it starts at the top. We need to talk about Ryan Pace. You know, is he pulling the strings here and creating chaos, or has he just brought on a coaching staff, particularly the head coach and the offensive coordinator, who just are not getting the job done? And then later, Shane, we need to talk about your thoughts on Vic Fangio. But let's talk about, you know, the offensive coach, Dow Loggins. You know, is this guy trustworthy to do the right thing, to get this team back on track, ball control offense, and score some points?
You get 9-8 in a box, because I count I'm just looking at it, 7-8 in a box based on their formation. Whether Tampa knows Glennon or doesn't, I would tend to lean towards the side of that they really knew what he is and where his weaknesses are. You know, this is supposed to be Mike Glennon's Super Bowl, by the way, guys. You know, you're going against your old team who sat you twice. Yeah. You got this big deal. You came out there. If you think this game wasn't important to Mike Glennon, then Mike Glennon is a piece of shit nobody who shouldn't even be in the freaking league, okay? I want to go out there and show and prove my old team wrong. Mike Glennon shit down his leg, as we said, pissed, did everything. He was the worst quarterback on Sunday, and there was a couple bad ones, stinkers. He was the worst one. The rookie in Cleveland is giving you a better opportunity to win than Mike Glennon is. Let's just put this all into perspective. So for me, it's got to be north-south shots down the field, not the east-west dink and dunk, because Mike Glennon in a dink and dunk is throwing interceptions, guys. He's predetermining where he's going. So how about we isolate on three-step drops and allow players to run downfield and make plays? Because you got four tight ends, all four of them actually get down the seams and threaten those safeties and give you outside looks where your weakness is. Wright can get up top. Bellamy has shown that he can get by people. Thompson has shown it. McBride, use these guys. Start threatening down the field. If Wheaton's healthy, there's another one. But you can't continue to do this short ball game. It's terrible, the East-West Shrine Bowl.
I think something that people have to realize, too, is like what Phil is saying, by taking these shots downfield, you don't even have to complete the pass. Just the simple attempt in itself is going to stress the defense. You know, right now they're just selling out because there's no threat of that at all. Just even one pass is going to make an enormous difference. But, like, you know, all offseason we heard, just like Phil said, this, you know, these tight ends are really going to help out a guy like Mike Glennon. And, you know, Jordan Howard, you know, off the action game, you're going to be able to do your dink and dunk, and then off the action game, you can get over the top. And we have just seen none of that. And this, yes, Mike Glennon is severely limited, but it's thrown right in the face, and it all gets back to Dowell Loggins again. You have to be able to, not saying that you're essentially throwing away a play, but Phil, you know this as well as I do. You run a play to set something up later in the game, and that's where he lacks so much, is there's no plays that are playing off one another later in the game. It's literally like he's sitting there playing Madden, and he's like, oh, this actually looks like it's pretty good. You know, in theory, this should work. We'll go with that. And this is the NFL. There's a lot of smart people involved in it, and not saying that Dowell hasn't had his moments, but there's just, like our quarterback position, there's no consistency. There's no consistency with the quarterback. There's no consistency with our head coach. There's no consistency with our offensive coordinator. And how do you expect to win in 2017 with zero consistency? It's a recipe for disaster.
Didn't you hear the blog? He told me that Dowell's a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's great.
Did
that happen to be a tweet? Because I can change some winners tonight. Yeah. If that was a tweet.
It was a tweet. I was explaining to him that just what you ran down, that formations dictate personnel, and isolating matchups is based on formation, and somehow that went over his head. You remember that?
The only reason Josh Bellamy was open on that one play was because that's the way that the defense drew it up, to leave him open because he sucks. Yeah, welcome to the NFL.
Jesus. That was his theory.
Is so, that Duh Bears blog? Maybe that's what he should change the name to.
That's unfortunately what happens when you're dealing with the smartest man in the room.
Shane, sent us a direct message questioning Vic Fangio, and I'd like to dedicate some time to that thought. What are your issues with a defensive coordinator who came here with a sterling reputation and has actually done, in my opinion, a pretty damn good job with a roster that hasn't always been anywhere near A-plus talent and has suffered a lot of injuries? What are your issues with Fangio?
I think I sent out a tweet, too, and then I talked to you guys about it privately. It's not... And it probably came off wrong. I'm not saying that he's ineffective or he's, you know, lacking as a defensive coordinator. I made the comment. I think he's been a little bit overrated here. And, yes, he has done, you know, some good things, like you said, Aldo, with a depleted roster. But where I get upset, I look around the NFL and, I see a guy like Leonard Floyd. And, yes, he has to step up himself. But when I see him repeatedly getting dropped back into coverage, it just I don't know why they – I would just like to see more pressure brought from, you know, a Vic Fangio defense to even give your – our offense is so limited, and the lack of turnovers. You know, sometimes I just like to see him not really throw caution into the wind, but just take a few more – risks. And yes, maybe our margin for error is so small that they can't do that. But I mean, we're also not winning. And that's really what it gets down to with me. I wish he would crank up the pressure, you know, kind of slow down a little bit with dropping who should be our best pass rusher back into coverage so often, kind of just let him go and let him do what he does best. We've seen this play out for going on 3 years here. You somehow have to try and create them, and that's unfortunately at this point it's going to be, you know, sacking the quarterback and trying to see if you can get on these fumbles, because they're not intercepting the ball and they're not doing that. But it was probably a little overly critical, being pissed off from the game But still at the same time, I would love to see him crank up the pressure and just try to, you know, be a little more exotic with some blitz schemes trying to get to the quarterback.
Phil, that's your team.
He is. I was going to comment.
Okay, let me start.
But I will, after I comment, we'll go into that, all right?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think Shane really has a great point here in the emphasis of this football team. When you have an offense that's struggling so much and you're getting in these third and long situations, I think Shane's right. You're going to have to sell out and become a hell of a lot more aggressive if you're not getting home. You saw it in the first game where Matt Ryan kind of stumbles and there's a blown coverage. This seems to happen in these critical moments that there's some miscommunication or breakdown. How about getting out of these third and long situations by attacking the quarterback and having him have to make a quick decision? And if you get beat, you might as well get beat being aggressive instead of sitting back in a cover three or quarters coverage, allowing someone to make a deep in cut and third and 15 for 17 wide open. It becomes a little maniacal. It's like dying by a thousand paper cuts. You see that bend but don't break sometimes. Maybe it's time, especially with the quarterback on the other side, and you want to get your football players more involved and excited about the game, you're going to have to take chances in order to create turnovers. And Fangio, in my estimation, is a tremendous coach, but I think the reset button in philosophy has to be different on third downs, where you're sitting there waiting and trying to rally and make a tackle and get four guys after the quarterback. How about we send six guys after the quarterback and ask these guys to do their job and man up and make quarterbacks, especially like Jameis Winston, be scared and make a stupid play? That's how you can change a whole season around, by a defense creating something happening. So I'm totally, usually me and Shane will go at it back and forth, especially something dynamic is criticizing Vic Fangio, but something's got to change. And I agree that we need to watch for that this Sunday, because Big Ben likes to continue plays for a bigger guy. He's going to manipulate the pocket, find more time, because unlike Glennon, who's 175 pounds soaking wet, Big Ben is about 260, and he can move out of the pocket. So let's watch for that this Sunday.
We will indeed watch for that. And I just got to say this about Fangio. You know, at his last press conference, he sounded like a man that was displeased with something. And we've heard the stories last year that he and Fox were not getting along. I wonder if that's happening again. You know, you got two strong-headed individuals there. You know, Fox likes to pride himself as being a defensive guru. Fangio, rightfully so, should take very pride in his leadership of that group. I wonder if they're clashing at all. I wonder if Fangio is not happy that the team, you know, didn't have more of an infusion of talent, of young talent. Yeah, they spent some money in free agency on some of these guys. But, you know, so many times these veterans are come in here banged up, you know, and they're damaged goods. So, you know, there's the dark cloud hanging over Halas Hall. But fortunately, we've got the smartest man in the bar room.
There it is, folks. You hear it. It's that special time in the 100 Proof Podcast where we resort to the smartest man in the bar room's tweets of the week. The dumbest and the best with Shane.
That was really nice, Phil. We gotta do like a
was
hip,
it good?
Yeah,
was
we
it
gotta,
good?
We gotta do like a hip hop version of that, you know.
I think my erection came back. All right, guys, here week number two with these tweets that seems to be getting a little bit of momentum here on Twitter. I got all my little gophers going out there scouting out some tweets and checking them out for me and sending them my way to make my life a little bit easier, not having to track all of these down myself. But got a couple clear tweets here that stood out to me. And the first one is Michael Wilbon.
I'm dumb as fuck.
Well, at Real Mike Wilbon. I'm sure everybody in Chicago knows who this guy is. And
I'm sorry.
Is supposed to be a Chicago Bears fan, but has pretty much turned into a noted Chicago Bears hater. Mr. Wilbon, on September 17, 2017, at 3:30 p.m., sent out this tweet. When receivers are as god-awful as the Bears are, I don't want to hear any lazy scapegoating of Mike Glennon, which I'm sure is coming.
He tweeted what?
I don't even really know how to put into words how to explain.
Who dis?
Yeah,
he tweeted
who
what?
Who dis? You don't want to make Mike Glennon a scapegoat? You
just hypocrite.
You just did that to Jay Cutler for 9 years in Chicago.
Hypocrite.
He was the scapegoat. But you got a guy like Mike Glennon is in here making $15 million, and you're not gonna hold him accountable to make simple throws to the flat? And I don't even want to get into rehash all of the errant throws that he's had, but to defend Mike Glennon and to really put everything on the wide receivers. And Phil, you know this to be true. If we put out some all 22 footage, there's been quite a few wide receivers and tight ends and running backs that have been open.
Wide open.
Wide open. And not
wide
not just,
open.
Not just 2 or 3 yards open. Go take a look at the Kevin White play that he got hurt on and tell me who was around him early if Mike Glennon would have got rid of the ball. So the first bad tweet of the week for week number two goes to at Real Mike Wilbon.
I'm sorry.
What a fuckhead that bald head asshole.
Yes.
Cue up the smartest man in the room music.
Okay, hold on, because I lost it. I gotta put this on a separate page. That's what it is. All right, here we go.
We gotta get this guy.
We need an audio engineer is what we need.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the first stupidest, dumbest tweet of the week. We call it our Heath Evans tweet of the week. Every week. Now, number two, stupidest tweet of the week with the smartest man in the bar room, Shane Marsaw.
Thank you, Mr. Toshin. Another beautiful job. You have that silky smooth voice. I love that.
Such a turn on.
Yes. But, yeah, this is going to be my second bad tweet that I read, but really this is number one overall, and it's just, it's bad, and it's ridiculous, and if I could give a fuck you award, I'd give it to this tweeter, to put it bluntly. His name is Cheyenne Rizvi.
I'm dumb as fuck.
We gotta rehearse that.
Sorry, Aldo. You were finally on cue and I fucked up. So. But yeah. At Cheyenne Rizvi, and that's at Cheyenne Rizvi. He tweeted out on September 18th, 2017 at 6:02 p.m. Brett, he quote tweeted Brad Biggs. Biggs had tweeted out that Bears coach John Fox said that Mike Glennon will be our starting quarterback against Pittsburgh. And Rizvi quote tweeted out, and he said that he hopes Mike Glennon gets a concussion.
What the fuck?
You can be a non-fan of Mike Glennon, and you can bag on him for his long neck and do whatever you want. Call him out for being an inept quarterback. But to wish injuries on these guys myself, yep. I have
draw the line.
Yeah, I have no patience for that, and there was actually a response to that saying that, you know, you shouldn't Another tweeter said that you shouldn't wish harm on these guys when it comes to concussions, so he hoped that he tore his ACL. And to me, that, you know, Twitter can get, you know, we all love it and use it, you know, multiple times throughout the day and get our information and get our thoughts out there, and that's what makes Twitter fun. But when you see bullshit like this, it just really, really rubs me the wrong way. And if you want to consider yourself a Chicago Bears fan, it doesn't even matter if you're a Bears fan, just if you're an NFL fan in general, to go out there and tweet something out like that, that you're you know, actually wishing harm, you know, something as serious as a concussion. And this, we all know where this is going, guys. I mean, this concussion issue isn't going to go away anytime soon. It goes all the way down into, you know, little league football with, you know, five and six year old. You see these guys, and it just really, really rubbed me the wrong way that somebody would actually think that that was something that they should tweet out.
Yeah, drop that.
Music was revving up there.
I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry. I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry.
Hey, what was that guy's name again?
Can we do this and put them up every week on the site? Just screen shoot them?
Yeah, screen shoot them to me, and then I'll create a graphic around it.
That'll be absolutely fun. People will look forward to it.
What was that guy's name again?
At capital S-H-A-H-Y-A-N, capital R-I-Z-V-I.
I'm dumb as fuck.
Exactly.
Cue up the music, folks, because you're about to be and bear witness to Shane Marsaw's smartest tweet of the week, sponsored by Matthew Balsley and his love for Olin Krutz and any pro athlete.
Hold on a second. I lost it. Motherfucker.
Aldo, you might be the winner next week, but keep this up.
Also sponsored by Mike Brez's love for Mike Glennon's neck.
Are you done? Are you done?
I told you I lost it. Oh man, where'd my music go? Oh, there it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard the dumbest tweets of the week. Sponsored by many sponsors that are dumb. Hold on, I gotta do it again. It was going good. Should I do the shot at Balsley, or is he gonna get offended?
Oh, Matt Balsley, he's a good sport. He'll love this.
You heard the dumbest tweets of the week. Now it's that special time that you've been waiting for Shane Marsaw's Tweet of the Week. Yes, that's the best tweet of the week. Sponsored by Matthew Balsley's love of professional athletes on Twitter. Shane, your Tweet of the Week awaits.
Thank you very much, sir. Yes, the week number two winner of Tweet of the Week kind of plays off. I was on last night with you guys on Bears Hour Live, and we played that video segment from NFL Network with Steve Wyche and Mike Silver and Heath Evans talking about how if Mitchell Trubisky plays, he's clearly not ready. And if you guys haven't, you know, listen to that yet, please go back and download that podcast and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But Sam Walker is a Chicago Bears fan that I think follows all of us, and that's at S Walker Jr. 66, had a great tweet, and it plays off, like I said, exactly from that video last night. He tweeted that he's tired of the sit Trubisky talk. Derek Carr won 3 games his first season and arguably had a worse talent base around him than Trubisky did. Now he's a top 10 quarterback. And we saw Mike Silver make that quote last night saying that, you know, if they, you know, he doesn't blame John Fox for being worried about putting Mitch Trubisky in there because he could become David Carr. Well, you know, on the other side of the coin there, maybe he's not going to be David Carr. He could easily be Derek Carr because we all see the talent this kid has. So that tweet to me stood out, and it really made me think, and I think people tend to forget how bad Oakland was, and they went through a long drought of competitive football. Yeah, of just competitive football, and it just shows you that one player, yes, they brought in some surrounding talent, but the most important position is quarterback. And just imagine where the Oakland Raiders would be. We saw how it played out last year when Derek Carr broke his leg and they couldn't use him in the playoffs. It just shows you how important having that young franchise quarterback that breathes life back into a football team, how important he can be. And Sam Walker, I think he hit it on the head, and that's why he won my tweet of the week.
That's a good one.
Sammy Walker, tweet of the week.
You would think that he would get a bigger applause than that, wouldn't you?
You got to give him the vodka straight up sound drop, Aldo.
There you go. The one that I accidentally erased 20 seconds ago.
There you go. Can we hire Dustin for the soundboard? I know Dustin Badia.
I think Stevie Wonder would do a better job than I do.
Dustin will fly in. All of a sudden, he's family. He sits in on podcasts.
All right, it's time for Bear Up, Bear Down. After that performance in Tampa Bay, it's going to be hard to find some Bears up, some two players that we liked their performance against the Tampa Bay Bucks. It's going to be easier to find players that are down, but we'll see what Shane and Draft Dr. Phil have up their sleeves. Who wants to start first?
You want me to go, Phil? They can't steal my guys, fucker?
Go ahead. I did go first last time.
Okay. Well, my bear up for this week, guys, it's not a sexy pick. It's my noted lunch pail player from last
Fuck
year.
Fuck you. You're so fucked.
It's literally the only guy on my list. When I was rewatching the game, I watched it twice, and it's... Yeah, it's pretty barren out there, but I gotta give a tip of the hat to Mitch Unrein. He seemed a little bit broken down last year, and it seems like this year he's got some newfound energy, and we all know that he's never going to be that big pass rusher guy that, you know, that's going to bring down quarterbacks, but he's the quote-unquote lunch pail fabric guy. And I know some people, and I was probably one of them, that maybe didn't have him making the roster after he went out so early in the preseason. I think he actually went out versus Denver after only a few plays. But he's a foundation piece to our run stopping, and we know with this defense and the way the teams are going to attack us, it's all going to start with being able to stop the run. And right now, Mitch Unrein, he's definitely sticking out in that department for me. I was hoping to see Eddie Goldman show a little bit more here versus Tampa, not saying that he played horrible, but it was, as you heard Phil say, he was going to pick the same guy. It was pretty easy to me to pick a guy like Mitch Unrein and give him my bear up of the week.
Seriously?
What?
I just heard you get hard.
that didn't work. All right, Phil. All right, Phil, let me know who's your bear up.
Cue the music. So Yeah, Aldo. My bear up of the week, honestly. Shane was on the same page as me there. So I'm going to go to the other side of the football, and I'm going to look at, you know, in a difficult assessment of talent pool. Actually, I'm going to stay on the defense because I don't want to skip over this guy. I thought there was a lot of opportunity and thought going into this game that Jackson and Davis were going to eat and really going to do a lot of damage to the Bears' defense. Didn't have to. I didn't think Tampa could have played a lot better. But this guy, Kyle Fuller, is going to be my bear up of the week. I thought he did a great job. There was one throw down the sideline normally. Touchdown for the opponent. And Kyle really played it well. Used his body, actually forcing Jackson to go out of bounds in the air. And Jackson caught the football. It would have been a touchdown if he didn't create contact there. There was a lot of physical plays. There was one point where he looked like he was going to tap out because he really made a nice play defensively to tackle the running back. And then something inside him was like, you know what, I'm not freaking going out. I saw it on tape. I'll try to find it on the All-22. Where he changes his mind, he's going to go leave the game. He comes back in the game, whether they were beat up at corner or he just had that feeling that he couldn't leave this defense. So the guy has taken a lot of heat in the NFL and from the Bears fan base. Thought he played really well last week against Atlanta. He was in my conversation. I thought he played a really good football game this week, too, to be week number two's bear up from the draft doc. Oh,
yes! That's awesome!
Contract year for Mr. Fuller, so you know he was going to bring it. Either that or his NFL career is going to be over, right? All right, Shane, give me your bear down player.
Oh, shit! Now, my bear down is a non-favorite, I think, of pretty much everybody on this esteemed panel tonight. Oh, shit! It's going to be on the opposite side of the ball, and that is our right tackle, Mr. Massey. Oh, shit! Oh, shit! The human turnstile. This guy is an absolute puzzle to me. I think, Aldo, you were the one that pointed it out last year after free agency, how it's been over the life of his career, how he starts so slow, and then towards the end, you know, the second half of the season, he'll always pick up his play. Well, I didn't think he was too bad in week one. I know initially watching the game versus Atlanta on that fourth down play, everybody kind of assumed that he was the one on the hook, giving up that sack, but breaking down the film afterwards, he wasn't really the guy that should have been hung out to dry for that. And he played fairly decent, but Lauren even brought this up today on his show and mentioned it. It's just you don't know what the motivation is there for Bobby Massey. There's no rhyme or reason to it. He'll go out there and he'll look fine for one play, and then he's just non-existent for the next, you know, 3.5 quarters, and then the next week he'll be serviceable. And it's just, there's, again, we can just add him to the list of no consistency with the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, and unfortunately the offensive line, and to me Bobby Massey was enemy number one on the offensive line this week. And it's, I really think the way that his contract is set up, I don't expect to see Mr. Massey as a Chicago Bear in 2018, because they were, Ryan Pace was, you know, smart enough to have his contract set up that they can move off of him after year two. So I think that we will be in the market for a right tackle, or what the hell, maybe they'll move Cody Whitehair there. Who knows? That's a position they haven't played him at yet. But my bear down, my bear down for week two is right tackle Bobby Massey.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, some players react differently to the heat. You know, like Akeem Hicks was talking about the heat down at Tampa Bay on a radio talk show, and he said that he loved it. He said that I thrived on that heat, man. That was for me. I don't think the heat is for Bobby Massey. I think that affected his play, and hopefully he's got a bounce back game against the Steelers. Phil, who do you got?
My bear down of the week, the chorus of plays. I'm going to double up and double dip on my first bear down player of the week. The storyboard continues, Josh Bellamy.
Oh,
the
shit.
Bellamy fan club and I do not get along, Mr. Gandia. And on this podcast of truth, I do declare that Josh Bellamy is my week number one and two.
Oh, shit. Oh,
bear
shit.
Down. The drops continue. This isn't a Steven Spielberg movie. I don't know how this continues to happen, but it does. And as we started off the show, there seems to be selective accountability. Josh can do no wrong. Josh is going to be our number one wide receiver. And in my book, guys that drop balls to win games and continue drives don't belong on the football field in critical moments. And until Josh can do it on a consistent basis, I thought, aside from going the easy route, because Mike Glennon clearly was the worst football player on the field, including all of the kickers, I think Connor Barth could have played a better game at quarterback than Mike Glennon this Sunday did. But my bear down again is Josh Bellamy, unless the judge, the godfather, says I cannot double dip. The award would go by a neck to Mike Glennon.
Hey, Aldo, can you edit out him mentioning Connor Barth at quarterback? Because we don't even want that out there. I mean, who knows if John Fox is going to listen to get any crazy ideas. You know, let's just...
I will definitely do that. I'll just bleep the name. All right, guys,
Miami.
Let's devote the rest of the show to what your expectations are for Sunday's game against the Steelers. Phil, why don't you begin?
Hey, let me answer you this way. It really is a huge mystery on how they're going to handle this football team come Sunday, because my cousin's calling. Hold on. Because you don't know who the offensive line is going to be. You're not getting any kind of injury updates, which Aldo has gone into, and we've gone into numerous times, on how, what's the word, Aldo? Pompous? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
You can edit this. How pompous this organization is towards its fan base and the media in regards to injury. There's never an update. Kwiatkowski, we don't know. We don't know anybody that's injured, really, until Ian Rappaport and Bradley Biggs reports it. So how that sitting situation is going to play out is going to affect the center move with white hairs flopping over there. How is Compton, who was your starter? That whole interior offensive line is in question. Mike Glennon, is there one guy, Mike Brez, that believes in Mike Glennon that I know of right now? Because I don't know anyone that believes in following the plan except Brez and Ted Phillips right now. So how he comes out there and plays is a huge mystery. I have no confidence in that. And how this offensive coordinator has decided to diagnose and game plan versus an aggressive Steeler defense who's going to be smelling stats. And what I mean by that is they have a very good interior as well as some pass rushers there. They're going to recognize that the head coach referred to Mike Glennon today as he's a statuesque quarterback which prompted me to tweet, well, it's time to tear down the statue in Chicago then and get Trubisky in there. Hashtag Trubisky. Now, the only real way to attack this team is to really get Jordan Howard going and then work action game off of it and protect this guy at all, at every cost, because really he's so bad that you can't even base anything or hold your hat on anything. As we talked about early in the show, 41 yards in the first half. He's had two drives, and both of them have been in the two-minute drill. So, and then the final whatever minutes of the last game, he's chalking up stats against the prevent defense, down, mind you, 29-0. It could have been the first shutout in a long time, but you know how it ended with a touchdown pass to Thompson. So Mike Glennon versus Trubisky right now is the real story to me, because if Trubisky comes in this game, I believe there'd be new life and there'd be a real shot at getting the running game going and putting in the playbook that Mitch feels comfortable with. And that's what great coaching is. It's about taking your talent and doing what they do well, not this is my system, this is our system to help this young man now. And everything I saw this guy do in the preseason, Mitch Trubisky, that is, I believe he not only gives you 100% better chance to win, but he gives you 100% better chance to be competitive against a Steeler team that I think is going to nollywalk the Bears offense. And it's really going to be on the shoulders, as we talked about with Shane and Fangio being aggressive, on really on the defense to make plays and create short fields. Because Mike Glennon, I just can't see, if another game like you saw in Tampa transpires, there's just no way you're going to see Mike Glennon play week four. I know Shane isolated that, but I would be shocked if the performance was like it was in Tampa, that this guy's out on the field for game four. You're going to have to admit your mistake. The Aldo Gandia Trubisky now is traveling the internet and Twitter sphere and Facebook. Keep it going, guys, because it needs to happen. It's really disappointing that you could lose a whole season where a quarterback that needs reps and needs the opportunity to help this franchise turn a chapter of losing, and you're really going to skip over that to save face on $18 million mistake. I just don't see it.
What?
Exactly.
I can't get it to shut up.
I think that's Mike Glennon's wife after the Pittsburgh game when he gets benched, right? I think that's what she's going to sound like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't you say,
Shane, she deleted her account?
Yeah, she turned off her Instagram account or something like that?
Yeah, it's back up. It must be. Yeah, I see she had set it to private, and then it was back up. But
She's back.
Yeah.
Shane, what are your thoughts about the Steeler game?
I don't have a hell of a lot of confidence. I think I don't think I can really add too much to what Phil said. I think there's going to be a lot more frustration, and kind of plays off with what I said with Fangio. I think if you're going to have any chance whatsoever, you're going to have to get some free points on defense, because I can't see Jordan Howard being effective in this game just with a quarterback like Mike Glennon. We've said it 1,000 times. And when you're talking about our secondary, how a guy like Antonio Brown isn't going to give you pause just to wonder how they're going to stop him. You know, while they're figuring that out, you're going to be trying to stop a running back like Le'Veon Bell. And it's, you know, they have some explosive playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, and they have a great quarterback that can buy time and shrug off tackles and roll out and make plays downfield. You know, unfortunately, we have a quarterback that's got some of those same traits, but theirs is playing, and our statuesque quarterback seems like he's the best prescription for this 3-win ball club moving forward. So, no, it's like I said, I'm the eternal optimist when it comes to the Chicago Bears, but I don't have a hell of a lot of confidence going into this week 3 game versus Pittsburgh.
Well, I wish I could disagree with you guys, but, you know, it would be really stupid of me to do that. But as a fan, I'll be rooting, and, you know, the way shit goes in Chicago, the Bears will probably blow out the Steelers and just creating all sorts of, you know, false promises and stuff. You know?
This is the part in the show when Aldo does coke on the actual podcast. There you go.
All right, listeners, want to thank you for all of your responses on the hashtag Trubisky Now, but we've got to keep up the pressure. We've got to really make this happen. We've got to send photographs. We've got to send tweets. Hashtag on Trubisky Now. Think of creative ways to use social media to get our message across that we've had it with this organization, that this bullshit with Mike Lennon at quarterback and trying to cover up for their $18 million mistake just has to stop. It has to stop. We are making such a logical, reasonable argument for inserting Mitch Trubisky in at the quarterback position. I mean, this is mass madness that this organization is treating this. It's like they're tanking the season. Like they want to get another top five draft pick by throwing this giraffe in there. But what they don't realize is they're eroding the soul of the fan base. The fans that know, the fans that see, the fans that can reason, they know that this quarterback deserves an opportunity. This quarterback should have been fighting for the number one job in preseason as opposed to being relegated to the number three position, a decision that was made without any true competition. What the fuck is that? Come on. So we as fans, it's our duty to hashtag Trubisky Now. Make your argument. And if you disagree with us, then follow Mike Briz or something. Talk with him. I don't know what you got to do. I've seen some stuff on social media here. Some guy was calling people who are Trubisky supporters meatheads. What are you going to throw him out there and get him ruined? He'll never be a good quarterback with this offensive line, with these receivers. Come on. We have shot that down. We have shot that down. So stop it. Stop it.
Aldo, he could get hurt. He might get hurt.
Oh, this is Kane. You have bubble wrap, right? Where you work?
Yeah.
Hell, get it over there.
I got a 6-year-old kid. I got tons of bubble wrap. It's a freaking kamikaze. You kidding me? But yeah, it's like I said. I think these guys are holding on to the hope that, you know, at this point, while he's not playing, we still have the hope that he's a superstar. Mm-hmm. It's like they're scared of actually putting him out there to prove it. So I guess we just stay with Mike Lennon and we'll put Trubisky on the shelf until 2018. But wow. Hey, I don't... Who the hell knows?
It's starting to feel like they're purposely tanking, and that's unacceptable, especially at the beginning of the season. And as one sportscaster on Chicago radio said, why are you saving Trubisky for the second half of the season when more guys will be injured, when there will be less quality around him? So this is just stupid. And then as soon as we get this engine revved up, we're going to hashtag Firefox all over the place, because it is clear that Ryan Pace's first mistake with the Chicago Bears was hiring John Fox, a coach whose prime is well past him, a coach who was fired from Denver because of disagreements with John Elway, and there were all sorts of rumors about him already starting to pack it up and not really, you know, having his heart in the game. This guy's stealing money from the organization. And then he goes out on Monday with this press conference that was just insulting to the intelligence of people. That has got to stop. We're going to hashtag fire Fox, too. I'm going to come up with some freaking campaign to get that done, too. So join the forces. Let's resist. Let's take down the statue that is Mike Glennon. Let's take down this whole establishment over at Hallis Hall, because things have got to change. Things have got to change. If not, we're going to just create more noise, because we ain't going away. We're fans for life. they're going to go before we're going to go. So that's our show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.
Bear down.
So we gotta do a GoFundMe account and get a fucking billboard.
Yeah, really? That would be awesome. That is
Firefox
so
billboard.
How much is it?
Well, that's a great name. Yeah, that's a great question. I'm already Googling that.
I'd fucking kick in some legit money for that.
Shit, right?
Bears Barroom logo on it.
Yep.
There you go.
How much does billboard advertising cost?
Lower third. Put it on one of those electronic ones on the L, whatever you guys drive there.
I think we better come up with another idea.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
I haven't found Chicago, but it costs $3,000 in Atlanta, so.
Yeah.
Chicago, maybe with all the shootings?
Yeah, really? Maybe I can get my
probably would get it for $1,500.
Maybe I can get nephew, stone cold Puerto Rican nephew, to go up there with a can of spray paint and just
write it on the towel.
Exactly.
All over the fucking city. He'll do it for like an ounce of reefer.
Tagging up Soldier Field.
Hey, Aldo, when you went on your little rant there at the end, I thought of a pretty good video you could put out, or an audio for the. You got to play your, you know, fuck you, Phil, fuck you, Shade, that whole bit with the quarterbacks.
Right.
And then at the end of it, you got to do the screeching tires, like
that's good.
Putting on the fucking brakes, and then play your little rant why he's got to fucking play. Or even in between the screeching tires, you could do the what, then the screeching tires, and then you totally change in course. That'd be fucking
then
hilarious.
You could drop the Rocky.
Yeah.
Aldo comes up. We gotta fucking play this guy. That'd be awesome.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's not the first time in my life that I've heard somebody say, aren't you the guy that said, yeah, fuck, I'm playing both sides of the street. What the fuck?
What about
you could always blame us.
There you go.
They talk sense.
That's
to
right.
Me, damn it.
It's logic and sense. I can't ignore it.
I'm dumb as fuck. I'm sorry.